The first scripture lesson this morning is from 1 John 1, verses 1 to 4. Hear now the word of the Lord. We declare to you what was from the beginning, what we have heard, what we have seen with our eyes, what we have looked at and touched with our hands concerning the word of life. This life was revealed, and we have seen it and testify to it, and declare to you the eternal life that was with the Father and was revealed to us. We declare to you what we have seen and heard, so that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. We are writing these things so that our joy may be complete. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
I think it is appropriate that on Valentine's Day we are talking about what it means to truly have fellowship with others. I didn't plan it that way, but it just looks cool when things work out, doesn't it? The passage that we heard read from 1 John talks. If you were here last week, then you know that last week we talked about proclaiming the gospel. That is the first great end of the church, and that's what our sermon series is about. The great callings and purposes, the meaning of why the church exists. Why did God form this body, call us together? For what purpose? So the first one, proclaiming the gospel, the good news, and that's the first thing they said. We declare to you what we heard from the beginning, what our eyes have seen. It's interesting what we heard, what we saw, what we touched. The gospel is something to be experienced. It's life changing, and then it goes on to say, we declare this to you so that you may have fellowship with us. It's really interesting. They declare, here's a reminder of the gospel, so that we may have fellowship. And our second passage echoes that as well, follows that same story arc, and it comes to us from the book of Acts, chapter 2, verses 38 to 47, which is slightly different than what we had in the bulletin. So, hear now the word of the Lord. Peter said to them, "Repent, and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, so that your sins may be forgiven, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and for your children and for all who are far away, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to him." And he testified with many other arguments and exhorted them, saying, "Save yourselves from this corrupt generation." So those who welcomed his message were baptized, and that day about 3,000 persons were added. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. Awe came upon everyone because of many wonders and signs were being done by the apostles. All who believed were together and held all things in common. They would sell their possessions and goods and distribute the proceeds to all as any had need. Day by day, as they spent much time together in the temple, they broke bread at home and ate their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having the goodwill of all the people. And day by day, the Lord added to their number those who were being saved. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be pleasing and acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Lord, if I say anything that is not of your will, may it fall to the ground and be quickly forgotten. Lord, when you speak your word to your people, may you write it in our hearts and change our lives forever. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I think most of us naturally desire to be in relationship with others. It just seems to be a natural state for human beings to have, whether it be a romantic relationship, friendships, families, we are drawn together to groups. Introverts resist this, but even they come out of their little hermit crab shells every once in a while because they need companionship. And then they immediately go back inside and say, "That's enough." But as human beings, we're just naturally drawn to relationships. We like to get away from it every once in a while, but I don't know about you, sometimes you go on vacation, sometimes you get away from it all, and then after a little while you start missing the people who are part of your life. If you don't see your family for a long stretch of time, you miss them. You get homesick. It's a natural state of human beings. And I think most of us, even though we feel lonely sometimes, we think, you know what, I have some friends, I have people in my life. And especially at this church, I think we think, this is of the six great ends of the church, if you saw the list that was printed in the bulletin last week or that's up on the Facebook page, if you saw all six, we probably think this is the one that we do the best. We may not be perfect at everything here in this church, but by golly, fellowship is one of the things that we value the most. And every conversation we've had over the last year or two, talking about what this church values most, fellowship has been far and away the number one response. It doesn't matter if we have the perfect programs. It doesn't matter if you're dressed perfectly. We care for each other, and we're friends, and we make fun of each other, and we sometimes too much, maybe, I don't know. But we have fun with each other. It's one of the things we really excel at. We say we have this fellowship. But I challenge you today to think that maybe what Scripture is describing as fellowship operates at a completely different level than what most of us consider to be fellowship. Most of us think if we have friends that we laugh and joke with, then we have fellowship. But the great end of the church is to have spiritual fellowship. That's the calling that Jesus places on us. And I think this calling goes a little deeper. And the First John passage talks about that. It says, we proclaim the gospel. This gospel is heard. It's seen. It's touched with our hands. This is the word of life. We've touched the word of life with our hands. And we want to tell you about it so that you can have fellowship with us. And also, and truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus. So that's, our true fellowship is with God. But through your relationship with God, you will have fellowship with us. That's the first key. Our true fellowship is linked to our fellowship with God. You can't really have one without the other. You'll never truly love yourself until you understand how God loves you. You'll never be able to love other people fully. Sure, anybody can have love for others, but you will never fully experience the true depth of that love until you have love for God, until the love of God fills your heart. These are prerequisites for true relationship. We must see ourselves as part of God's story, or nothing else comes into focus. Everything is just a little bit off, a little bit blurry. It's amazing when you go online, you hear people talking about how lonely they are. I spend a little bit of time you can listen to people's loneliness. Even people who are in relationships, people who are surrounded by other people and yet feel completely alone. And we say, how is that possible? And so often people settle for just the facade of a relationship because they're so desperate for the real thing that they know that they're missing. It is only in the gospel that we find the acceptance that we seek, because after all, that's what we're after. When we say we want a relationship, we really want to be loved and accepted. And the irony is that we never truly find that with another human being, because they always think, the more they get to know us, that we're strange. I don't know about that. Anyone ever been in a relationship, especially with someone of the opposite sex, and you find them to be just weird? Like, books have been written about this. It's just that women are strange creatures that we will never understand. And women think men are strange, but I think it's only because they're overthinking it. I think men are much more easy to understand. Maybe that's because I am one. But I remember in high school, oh my gosh, this girl came into class and she was frantic, and she showed me the text message and she said, he said he's too busy to talk today and he won't be able to talk to me till tomorrow. What does it mean? Well, it's possible that he's busy today and that he won't be able to talk to you till tomorrow. Right, but what does he really mean? Like, honey, guys just really aren't that complicated. It's just, I mean, I don't know, maybe he is. Maybe he's an international man of mystery. But for most of us, we misunderstand each other. We find that deep down, are we truly accepted? And the other and that's the catch-22, because we have to open ourselves up in order to feel accepted. And we don't want to open ourselves up for fear of not being accepted. And so we go round and round and round, wondering whether the person really understands us, really knows us, really accepts us. And so it's only in the gospel that we find this radical acceptance, radical love. Jesus, God himself, who knows us better than we know ourselves, knows all of our flaws, the darkest secrets that we hold in our hearts. He knows everything about us and loves us just the same. If you're looking for a love story to talk about on Valentine's Day, there is no greater love story than the love that was shown to us in Jesus Christ. And it's only in the gospel community of the church that we experience this in the world. Because everyone else, you can come to church and there's sort of a wink of acknowledgement. You know, we're all here, not because we're perfect, not because we have it all together, as so often I think the world thinks about us. Oh, those church people. They're people who think they have it all together. And every time I hear someone say that, one of my non-church going friends, I go, yeah, this is a community that thinks we have it all together. It's like, you've clearly never been, because that life comes apart really quick, because this is the most awkward group of misfits I have ever seen has been at church. Never, nowhere else do you find this in anything else. A group of people that just would otherwise never come together, because we're just odd, each of us in our own way, and we know that about ourselves. We know that we're broken. We know that we're misfits. And we know that Jesus loves us all the same. And so the apostles say, you have to understand that if you want to be a part of this community. You have to understand that you're broken, that you don't fit in order to fit in. It's ironic. Unless we're willing to be vulnerable, unless we're willing to confess our sins, we'll never really fit in here. But that's the trick. That's what makes it a real community. That's the difference between fake fellowship and real fellowship. The brokenness and the vulnerability. Are we willing to open ourselves up? To confess our sins, to confess that we don't have it all together. But see, especially for outsiders who are coming into the community skeptically, who think, oh, because that's the stereotype of the church in the world, that the church is a judgmental place. They look down on other people. And so when they get here, they have to find a community of people willing to say, when you ask, hey, how's your week going? To not just respond with because the temptation, of course, is to say, oh, everything's fine. And we smile and shake hands and pass by. And then we get home and we hang our heads knowing that everything is not fine. That's the difference between real community and fake community. When people ask you how you're doing, do you just nod the head and say, oh, just doing just fine, thanks for asking? Or do you say, you know, I was struggling this week? And maybe you don't have to do that with every single person in the church because, you know, come on, you're being a downer. But you need to have at least a handful of people in your life who you can really open up to and say, but even then when people ask the superficial question, you say, you know what, I'm alive today and I'm celebrating that. Because some days that's all you can celebrate. I'm not sick at the moment and that's all I have to celebrate. And people can say, you know what, I'm glad you're alive today too. We can have that level of fellowship. But the vulnerability is called for. And Peter says the same thing. Repent and know who Jesus Christ is. That was his first word to the crowd, which is never a great opening sentence, you'd think. You walk into a coffee house, repent! But Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, pulls it off somehow. And so the community is formed around that idea of vulnerability. We have to be vulnerable. That's the full phrase isn't just spiritual fellowship. It's the shelter, nurture, and spiritual fellowship of the people of God. Shelter. This is a place where you can find shelter, where you can come and be vulnerable and not be judged for it. And yet, at the same time, because of that call to repentance, we must be able to challenge one another in our in order to grow. If you are in a community where you are never challenged, you don't have real community. And that goes with any relationship. If you are in a relationship with anyone who never challenges you, it isn't a real relationship. You may call it a relationship, and you may have a conversation partner, but it's not real fellowship. Because real fellowship, we challenge one another, and we tell one another where there are broken paths in our lives, where there are dead branches in our lives that need to be pruned. Peter's call to repentance is a part of the community. There are broken things in your life that need to be fixed, and you come here. I'm not judging you for it because I am no better than you. I confess my sin first. I confess my own sin, and we do that for each other. You ever seen videos of monkeys in the wilderness picking the ticks off of each other? I think that's what the church needs to be. We do that, and they take turns doing that for one another. And I suppose if you found ticks and fleas delicious, that would be a fun activity. But that spiritual image of we help make one another clean, because we both know both of us are covered in fleas, both of us are imperfect, so we need to do this for each other. Without accountability, fellowship is superficial. And again, most communities tend to gravitate towards one of those two things. The church has earned a reputation for being judgmental because the call to repentance has been so great that we forget that the repentance comes out of the radical acceptance and love of Jesus Christ. And I want to make sure that you're perfect, and I'm going to pretend that I'm perfect. That's not real community either. That's a community where we're all pretending to be perfect. Or a community where we just radically accept one another and we never talk about our problems and we just say, oh, Jesus loves you, Jesus loves me. That's not real community. The gospel calls us to walk that fine line of both. Unless you have both of those things, your community is superficial. That's the message that the gospel has for us today. To challenge us, to wake us up out of our comfort zone that, yes, we love one another, but if we never challenge one another, and if we don't do it in love, we've missed the picture of the real community, the real gospel community that Jesus has to offer us. And it's easy to fall into one of those things, because both of them require less of me. I can pretend that I'm perfect, or I can pretend Or I can just say, yeah, everything's fine. But the gospel calls us to both. It says at the same time, you are loved and accepted unequivocally and without reservation in Jesus Christ. Without reservation, you are loved and accepted and you are known. And at the same time, we call you to a better way of life. In Christ, these two extremes are held together. Jesus calls us to enter one another's pain at a deep and meaningful level, to speak the words of forgiveness, and to love each other all the same. The call of the gospel, the call for relationships, human relationships, is to open ourselves up to this transforming love. People in our community are desperate for an excuse to talk, to share their pain with someone. Their lives are full of this superficial community, and they're desperate for the real thing. I read an article this week about a pastor who sits one day a week in a coffee shop, and he just puts a sign up that says free prayer. And he says, I don't even like coffee. I don't really like talking to people, but I did it anyway. He said, I was shocked how many people came up to me and told me their stories of pain and hurt. And they said, I've been holding this in for 2 years and I haven't told anybody the pain in my life. And he thought just how sad it is that people are walking around full of, you know, they say, oh yeah, my life is full of fellowship. I have all these friends. I have all these family members. But they hold their pain inside because they know it's not real community and they don't dare risk the rejection. And it is only in the gospel community, only in the church that we achieve our true calling. By giving people a place to be vulnerable, opening up and speaking the words of forgiveness and loving them all the same. The call for us as believers is to be there and just listen to people. To truly listen when you ask them how their day is going. to stop and listen for the answer and be willing to share your pain as well, because sometimes that's what they need first. They need to let you to share their pain, your pain, so that they know it's safe to share theirs. That is what true fellowship looks like in Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God that we have a God who gives us what we so desperately seek and we can find nowhere else. Amen.